Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome back to the FPL Roundtable, the only fantasy Premier League podcast where we guarantee that you might learn something about fantasy, probably. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries. Joining me, as always, my good friend and partner in crime, Rob Langevin. Rob, before we throw it to you, I need to voice an opinion.
Go ahead, and preach, my brother.
First of all, do you remember at, say, 9 o'clock last Saturday in the States? I guess that's, what, 2 o'clock?
Yeah.
England?
Yeah.
Everybody was really mad at Pep Guardiola. Because last minute, Jesus is dropped and Sterling is dropped.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's real mad.
Real mad. Fast forward, I was mad.
Right? I'm sure. So was I, also at Sterling. Fast forward about 60 minutes and Lukaku has done nothing and Aguero has scored. So everybody is now saying, Lukaku to Aguero. Lines up perfectly, super easy to do. Everybody should go do that. As if they forgot what had literally happened an hour earlier. This is one of the most infuriating things I have ever experienced in the FPL community. The fact that literally 90%+ of owners were upset with Pep Guardiola and his team selection. And then an hour later, we're all saying that you need to bring in a Manchester City striker. Blew my mind. Obviously, Aguero launches up ownership. Everybody's talking about how great a call this is, neglecting the fact that they play on Tuesday. And then what happened Tuesday? Aguero, Jesus, and Sterling all played 90 minutes. Sterling and Aguero played 120 minutes, pretty much destroying any chance of them actually playing at the weekend. And this is why I was so frustrated then and feel so validated now, because it was always going to go this way. And the fact that so many people knew what would happen and then did it anyway out of, I don't know, optimism is insane to me. Man. Now that I've ranted on this, I have a feeling, like, because you said you transferred early, that you may have brought in one of these players. What do you have to say for yourself?
We've said it 1,001 times. Pep Guardiola hates your fantasy team.
He does.
There is just no way around it. And yes, I was one of the ones that was just completely, nah, there's no way Aguero is going to see full match time in this game, let alone almost a match and a half time in this where they're struggling against Wolverhampton and takes it to extra kicks. I don't know what to say. I'm fantasy befuddled right now. The Caribou Cup, The Swamp Cow.
The Caribbean Cup.
The Billy Ocean-sponsored Caribbean Queen. Yeah. Caribbean Queen, now I'm tearing your FPL dreams.
Boom.
Yeah. It's the stupid Swamp Cow Cup. This came up and took a big old steamy dump on week 10. Ugh. And it's funny. You know, you're going to get into a list of other useful and vital FPL players that we're going to talk about that played 60-plus minutes. And there's a good list. And guess what? There's more teams to play tomorrow. Chelsea still plays, well, today when you're listening to this. So, you know, there's
and
other.
And Tottenham.
So there's still teams to play that are going to have an impact on your fantasy teams. So stick right here for the next couple of minutes. Me and Kevin, we're getting real as real could be. We're going to pull out verbs and adjectives and maybe put them in a sentence.
What
maybe
about nouns, though?
But put him. Maybe we might put him before the predicate, maybe after the predicate, and maybe go on a whole tangent of sentences that maybe don't even make sense.
You know what? That does sound like us. As Rob said, I'm about to run through the players that played 60-plus minutes, so buckle up. We'll go in reverse order so that you know the players least likely to play. Aguero and Sterling, already name-dropped them, both played 2 hours of football. Not very optimistic either. We'll get the start. Although, to be fair, Bernardo did play a lot of minutes, but you assume Sané, who came on as a substitute.
There's one thing we need. We need a soundboard. We needed like a soundboard for like a dope.
Like an old school shock jock.
Like a dope.
Aguero.
Oh, man in the box, you're gross.
That sounds good. Or we could just do it. Yeah. Every time we say something.
We need like a stupid clown horn.
Yeah. Good.
Friggin' ridiculous. This game week 10 has just gone off the rails already. We're 5 minutes into this podcast.
And 5 days from these matches.
We're already infuriating ourselves and every listener here.
So yeah, 120 minutes for Aguero and Sterling. People that played 90 minutes or thereabouts. So like 85 plus really for most of these. Gabriel Jesus played till about the end of the regulation there. Alfie Mawson, Chris Smalling, Anthony Martial, Charlie Daniels, Adam Smith, Holding, Iwobi, Loftus-Cheek for anybody that was holding on, Van Aanholt and Maguire. They all played full matches. I'd give them all yellow little exclamation points and triangles. And then played 60 minutes, Rashford and Herrera for United. As Rob already mentioned, Tottenham and Chelsea yet to play as we record this. It's a lot. I know a lot of people still probably riding the Charlie Daniels train in particular. And then the fact that both Jesus and Aguero played 120 minutes is off. You assume that means Jesus is going to start. But this is why it was so strange that they just shipped off Ihe Iheanacho. Mm-hmm. Because they removed any possibility for a third option. I know you've said in the past you think Sterling could do all right up front, but we've just never seen it. So I don't know how you could be confident in that. And he also played 120 minutes. And I just think this is very, very strange from Pep Guardiola, but it's expected weirdness. Yeah. It's expected unexpectedness.
Oh, it totally is. I know one thing for certain is, I know David Silva's playing a full 90 on Saturday.
That is very, very true. Probably Sané as well, who only had to play 30 minutes of that. Stones had to come on as a sub. Walker had to come on as a sub because they used their extra sub rule, which some people may not know. In the Pirates of the Caribbean Cup, you can now use a fourth substitution if you go into extra time. But yeah, it's a City in particular are just going to be a fantasy mess this week. But as you say, Silva, Sané, probably fine. Walker, probably fine. Stones, probably will be fine. Everyone else.
Otamendi will be fine.
Otamendi should be fine. Yeah, oh yeah, he didn't even show up, I guess. But yeah, everywhere else on this pitch, I'm throwing up question marks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean it's a conundrum, is what it is. This is the reason why you should not transfer early, Rob.
Yep, that will happen again. I was just so surprised that so many people. I don't begrudge you individually because it seemed to be the prevailing wisdom that everybody was switching to Lukaku and Aguero. I was just very, very bemused and perplexed as to how that became the prevailing wisdom. There have obviously been price changes. Aguero, I assume, has made some headway, unfortunately, for people bringing him in now. Who else joined him on those price ups and price downs?
It's been an early buyer's market. I guess people don't really care what happens in the Caribou Cup. On the ups, we'll start in goal. It's Rob Elliott and Fraser Forster gone up. Two goalies in 1 week going up is a thing, I guess, this week, because it's the first time this year that two goalies have gone up in the same week. On defense, Monreal has gone up, Stephen Ward has gone up, Nicolas Otamendi, the aforementioned, has gone up, Antonio Valencia, Maya Yoshida, and Kieran Trippier have gone up on defense. Through the midfield, Pascal Gross, Raheem Sterling has gone up, Leroy Sané has gone up. The moniker EMCM has gone up, Chupa Moting has gone up. Abdoulaye Doucouré has gone up for Watford. Richarlison has also gone up for Watford. I'm going to leave this one for last because I'm just writing how I wrote it. Morata has gone up. Tammy Abraham has gone up. My twin girls, Mame Biram Doof, has gone up. And the prince of the FPL ball, Sergio Aguero, with all these early transfers, has gone up twice. Yeah. With all the hype that people just automatically dumping on Lukaku because they face Spurs this week. So Kevin, now, if you're looking at this now, knowing that Aguero has played, are you more confident in looking at like a Romelu Lukaku, knowing that he's facing a top three defense in Spurs, knowing what we've seen from Lukaku, and he's kind of had some blanks here and there, and he's showing what, you know, the old Everton blue Lukaku is. are you confident in playing Lukaku now, knowing that there's possibilities of, you know, a City Schadenfreude going on right now, that that Aguero may sit, Jesus is lying in the weeds, you know. So are you confident playing Lukaku now if you're a Lukaku owner?
I currently am a Lukaku owner, but don't expect to be much longer, to be fair. Of course, in the template, if you for some reason missed that Lukaku kind of struggled at the weekend, and you, I think you mentioned last week that it looked like Lukaku was hitting one of those downturns where the effort just isn't really there, which happens for him from mm-hmm. time to time. Obviously, you would have wanted to get rid. But now, if you still own him, you have to be feeling a lot better than if you had Aguero. Would I like him against Tottenham? No. I personally think that I'm probably going to be transferring him out this week. But if you kept him, I wouldn't be mad about it. I mean, Tottenham have not kept nearly as many clean sheets as they have in the past. And Tottenham have never, weird, bizarre stat, Tottenham have not had the most clean sheets either of the last two seasons when they've conceded the fewest goals, mm-hmm. which is pretty strange. Tottenham this season, 5 clean sheets out of, what, 9 matches thus far?
9, yeah.
Which isn't bad, but I wouldn't be surprised if Lukaku got on the scoreboard here. It's a really interesting real football note that applies to fantasy is the fact that Lukaku has gone up against Alderweireld and Vertonghen, and I always think it's really interesting when players know each other really well. I know it's not really a thing in the Premier League, but it's like divisional rivals in American sports, where you just see them a lot, and it could really go either way. I think actually Davinson Sanchez is the best physical analog to Lukaku, but he could still cause damage, and they have enough pace to undo us, as you saw with Salah last week. Liverpool didn't really threaten us for a lot of that match, but you get one chance to one of your pacier players, and they can just launch. From them, it would probably be the wing backs for United. So if I have Lukaku, I will tell you I will likely sell him this week, but you mm-hmm. don't have to. If you think he can do well against this Tottenham team, which is within, obviously, realm of possibility, then hold on to him. The matches for him aren't incredibly kind going forward. This is not exactly new news, but you have Tottenham, Chelsea back-to-back. Then you have a few easy ones, and then you have Arsenal, City again. So if you want to sell, I get it. If you want to keep, I get it. If you've survived the impulse from the weekend, I'd say you may have already answered your own question.
Yeah. I mean, it's conundrums this week, man. Just things happening on top of things.
Yeah. Also, one aside, if you wanted to bring in a high-profile midfielder, which is another thing we talked about last week,
yeah,
with the Lukaku and Aguero issues, feel free for this to be the time you switch to 2 forwards and bring in a 4th or 5th midfielder that you really trust.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah. I think that's happened. Like Alexis got on the score sheet last week. Mm-hmm. Hazard is playing well now. Salah is just tearing everything up at the moment. So I think, you know, if there's been a midfielder you're kind of eyeing and you aren't fond of these striker lineups, don't be afraid to cross lines of your team. Mm-hmm. Like you can just as easily put that into your midfield.
Definitely strengthen your 3 subs. This is a game if you're looking at and you own Aguero and you own Lukaku sitting against the Spurs fixture, even if you own Harry Kane looking at the United fixture. You know, this is a time that if you feel like you're solid up top and you have 3 or 2 even solid options, this is a time to look at your bench, and if you have enough funds in the bank, go to a playable option as a midfielder. Like if you have Matt Ritchie, go to a Richarlison. If you don't have the money,
I'm fine with Matt Ritchie right now.
Well, I mean, he's doing all right.
He's created inaccurate crosses.
He's all right, but you know what I'm saying. Like comparably, like if you didn't feel comfortable with Ritchie, you can go to Richarlison. Or if you need the money and you want to do a cheeky move, go bring in Decore or somebody who's on the up in good form, you know. Basically, make your first sub look shiny and new, like not so it's like you on your bench is Andy King and 3-2 Burnley defenders,
Loftus Cheek or Long or whatever.
You know, 2 guys who don't play, like Kieran Clark and Chris Long from whatever his name is from Burnley. But Yeah, definitely strengthen your roster this week. You know, like I just read off, it's Tuesday, Wednesday when you listen to this, and I just read off 19 names that have gone up already. So people are hitting the extreme panic button. And it's also because there was an extra day this week that transfers are a little bit adjusted, because the week did start on Friday this week with the West Ham fixture. So people had another day to think about their transfers. And as soon as the week locked, people jump on that transfer bandwagon. And as soon as Saturday hit, they saw what Aguero did. They see what Lukaku didn't do. And it's a righteous move. And then Aguero goes up twice. And now we sit after he plays 120 minutes. But, c'est la vie. C'est la vie. And then we go to price downs. I'll just read off the names. It's Lacazette. Believe it or not, Harry Kane has gone down from last week. He's now 12-7, not 12-8. Chicharito, Jesus has gone down because people just didn't buy into what he's doing and what Aguero is. That doesn't make it makes Jesus look like nothing. Lukaku's gone down. Believe it or not, Mo Salah's gone down. Henrik Mkhitaryan has gone down again. Dele Alli has gone down even after he just scored. Ben Davis has gone down. Eric Bailly's gone down. And the defensive prince Marcus Alonso has gone down again. Kevin, if there's Marcus Alonso owners out there, and there still are a ton Marcus Alonso owners out there, he is one of the top owned defenders. Bring that up in a sec. He's owned in 15.5% of leagues, which for defenders is an enormous amount of ownership.
Yeah.
You know, puts him fifth overall behind Hagazi, which I don't get, Ben Davis, which is going to drop tremendously now, Otamendi, Azpilicueta, and then Alonso at 15.5% at the 6.9 price tag. If you're an Alonso owner, and there's a lot of them, you know, 15.5% of 5 million, that's quite a few people. Where are you looking, Kevin? Are you looking for someone who's in that, you know, Otamendi, Azpilicueta, Valencia, Kyle Walker group? Or are you punting completely down to like a Steven Ward or, you know, somebody from the Southampton, Maya Yoshida, Virgil van Dijk, maybe you saw what you liked, Cedric? Are you keeping a high-priced defender if you own Alonso, or are you, you know, allocating your funds to a lower-level defender and then, you know, basically investing in midfield forwards?
Yeah, this is all hypothetical for me. I went pretty much cheap defenders across the board to start the season and haven't changed it yet, so I'm a little jealous of this scenario. I think I'd like to stay with somebody big, specifically City defenders, because I don't know when their tough matches are meant to be coming. Because if you look at their schedule, it still looks good through December. And we've seen United just set up to defend before. So now you're through to mid-December. Then you just have Tottenham. And then it's fine till January 1st. Like, I genuinely... Does it feel like they've played a lot of big clubs? Because it doesn't particularly to me. And it doesn't really seem like they have any high on the horizon. I suppose everybody looks smaller when you're on top of the mountain. Yeah, which they are.
That's but, totally the case. They make everybody look better. Look what Stoke did to Man United, you know?
Yeah. But I this sounds so strange to think about considering recent history, but I think you have to own a City defender right now. Last week I talked about Kyle Walker, whether or not he was the best fantasy defender in the game right now. Otamendi obviously took a huge step forward last week. Clean sheet, goal, bonus. That's always going to launch you up the charts pretty quickly there. But yeah, if I had Chelsea defensive shares, I'm probably switching over to City. And I will never be tired of talking about this. If Chelsea could freaking defend, Azpilicueta would be the best fantasy defender right now. He is putting in, weirdly, loads of attacking impetus. He is one assist shy of his totals from last season.
Yeah,
he had one goal, six assists last season. He's already on 1-5 this, which is just nuts, the season he's having right now. Yeah. But you just can't invest until they start keeping those clean sheets. But for now, yeah, I'd switch over to City. I do love me Steven Ward. You know, I've been on the Cedric bandwagon for like 3 years now to mixed results. Trippier.
I was on the Cedric bandwagon when he was Cedric Suarez.
Right? Right? That's so real. Only 90s kids will know. No.
I got the Reebok pumps with Cedric on them.
Oh, I got the Air Cedric 2s. But yeah, I would prefer to stick with a high price guy, probably a City guy, and I'm very envious if you're able to do that, because I've kind of punted that position, unfortunately.
Yeah, if you're a Marcus Alonso owner and you're looking for some, you know, clear path to enlightenment here, go just do yourself a favor, go get Nicolas Otamendi, steal yourself a dollar, and then go invest it wherever you see fit. You know, you can buy four packs of gum for $1, I think, because I think Juicy Fruit is still a quarter. But unfortunately, it doesn't help you in fantasy, but it helps your breath. So impress the ladies with good breath. Juicy Fruit.
Wait, Juicy Fruit is your point of reference there when it lasts all of 17 seconds?
Well, it only costs a quarter for five slices, you know?
Slices?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we'll get a slice of pizza. No, Juicy Fruit, you asshole.
Well, that's real.
You just go into a bodega. Like, what do you want? Yo, you got Juicy Fruit.
Magic yeah, gum.
What
magic
flavor gum you want?
Magic gum is sold in Lucy's. Yeah, can I get a Lucy and Juicy Fruit?
What do you want? What do you want? A chopped cheese and a Juicy Fruit?
Yeah, give me a Lucky Strike and a Juicy Fruit. By the way, for those who don't know, they sell Lucy cigarettes in the United States, and they call them Lucy's. So you're all caught up.
Anybody who's listening. And also, a chopped cheese is basically a cheesesteak, but with ground beef instead. It's in the Bronx. It's delicious. Yeah. Also, bodegas need to be more places.
Yeah. They need more merchandise on their shelves, too, but we're not going to get into that.
That literally is a whole conversation that we could have.
Yeah, literally. And that's really diluting the whole FBL fantasy train that we're on right now.
Like, the thing about New York cuisine is the best ones are on the corner. No. Anyway, we will take a quick break and be right back with Starts and Sits.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
All right, and we are back in La Casa, in the house, en fuego, which means on fire. For starts and sits, my sit to start off with, not too controversial. We already talked about it. It's going to be Lukaku, and this is really a sell for me. But if you're confident, just roll with it. We've just seen a whole lot of experts jump off the deep end, this week on the Aguero thing. So if you're confident, do you. And also, I feel like we have to mention this every once in a while. Do remember that fantasy is supposed to be fun. Like, I know we get caught up in ranks and everything, but if you like Lukaku, you can own him and then just kind of ride that roller coaster. He's still going to end up in the top five.
And you could stalk the hell out of him, too.
You could.
He invites it. He likes it. He calls it the Belgian waffle.
I'm sure that he does not.
I want to interject on something because I just thought of a joke.
Yeah.
If a person from Belgium is having trouble picking something, are they waffling?
Oh, my gosh. And is that a Belgian waffle?
Yeah, is that what it is?
I suppose it would be. Yeah.
All right, go back to your sits.
I wish I had a waffle maker. Waffles are so underrated as a breakfast food.
Yeah, and with chicken, forget it.
Oh my gosh. I don't know how they do it. There's this place, funnily enough, in Cincinnati called Taste of Belgium. Mm. And it's like, maybe this is how all chicken and waffles is. I just didn't know. But it's like maple syrup mixed in with like hot sauce.
Oh yeah, they do that all the time.
It's incredible. I had not lived before I had tried that. But getting back to Lukaku, if you want to roll with him, that's cool. Just know, barely pushing the top five in shots on target these days, as you mentioned, up against Tottenham's defense. Will they keep Lukaku out? Maybe, maybe not. Will he score multiples? Probably not. Tottenham very much in the bend don't break kind of mold. I'm not about this. Also, United's attack is kind of dipping down and chances created a lot of that kind of following Mkhitaryan's downfall. Obviously missing Pogba has been a detriment that I think is finally starting to catch up with them. On the whole, I'm off Lukaku. If you want to stay on him, do you. Also Aguero, obviously. Nobody should have brought him in. You shouldn't either.
I did. I'm sorry.
In midfield, you and I were texting about this during the Arsenal match. Everybody, chill. If you want to bring in Alexis, I condone that. Everybody else, let's get a little more information before we start buying in. They did this against an Everton team where the manager was about to be sacked and got to play about half of it against 10 men. Against a team that was already bottom five in defense. So, you know, not exactly the best judgment. Also, like last week when Liverpool tore up Maribor in the Champions League, and it was like, everybody jump on the Liverpool train. They're amazing. Up against Tottenham, it'll be the same. What? No. Yeah. So just wait on Arsenal. Things clear up for them after the Tottenham match, if memory serves.
Yeah. Arsenal just made every dead team in the FPL winners.
That's so real. Yep.
Everybody thought Aaron Ramsey was cheeky.
Yeah. I do like Ramsey in DFS. But in the official game, I want to see so much more from them. So, yeah, they have City, Spurs. I mean, it's not great. Burnley have a good defense. Huddersfield have been okay. United, Southampton. Actually, that's a pretty tough run. Never mind. I super don't like.
No, Arsenal's got a tough run. They got a cheap game this week. Then they play Spurs and I think what they play Spurs Chelsea the next two after that. Yeah, yeah. It's no good.
Wait, did I start with sits?
Yeah, you did.
What am I doing?
I was gonna call you on. It's opposite day, dude. Just turn your shirt around and jump.
All right, we'll keep just shitting on people. For defenses, I don't like. I really don't want either part of this Tottenham United thing. I mean, if you have Valencia or Trippier, you can probably get away with it, but I just don't really want either part of that. Could it be 0-0? Could Jose just decide to not attack at all? It's possible, but I'm just a little squeamish heading into this one, especially with the instability of the wingbacks at Tottenham. I guess we'll lead into you with your starts and sits, and then I'll come back with starts later or something.
Yeah, I'll stay in your opposite day form. I'll start with sits. I'm complete agreement. If you own a United or a Spurs defender, you can't really not play them because they're probably your first, second, or maybe third. If you're,
I do have Phil Jones and will not be playing him.
Yeah, if you're defensively greedy and you have a Spurs or United defender is your third best defender, you suck. I hate you. But yeah, I don't trust anybody in this game. Lukaku could score. United could score, and very much Kane could score because he's on the road. And even though he broke the home thing last week. But yeah, I don't trust it. But if you own them, you're probably going to play them because of the money invested in there. You're not going to be like, okay, I'll sit a 6.0 defender. That makes no sense. Don't do that, please. In midfield, you mentioned Hazard before. I don't like the way he's playing at all. He's still a ton to bring in. Still 10.6 owned in 4.9% of leagues. I know he's been playing better. Because he's basically been dribbling the ball, and then teams have basically doubled him when the time is right. And the assist that he gave, I mean, it was okay. It wasn't fantastic. It's not what we've seen from Eden Hazard in the past. But you want multiple things from Hazard. You need goals and assists. You need clean sheet, and you need a bonus from Eden Hazard for him to be warranting, you know, his 10.6 price tag. Because that's costing you some vital parts, whether it be another expensive defender, a fourth usable midfielder, or a third usable striker to bring in ahead Eden Hazard, or you know, I'll even lump Alexis Sanchez into this because their price tag basically steals from the rest of your roster. So look at your roster right now and basically take $1 million away from one of your best defenders, $1 million away from your fourth midfielder, and $1 million away from your third forward. And what does that leave you? That's basically what happens when you want to bring in one of those players. Your team will drastically look completely different, and you will be like, ugh, I don't have any viable player options. And there's people that play this game that way, where they just have, you know, four useless garbage pieces on their thing, and they hit every seventh week, and that's how they play the game. But, you know, I'm just telling you, this is I like to play from week to week, and then maybe 3 weeks at a time with an eye on the future. But Eden Hazard for the next few, I'm not buying it at all. On the forward, Kevin basically must have stole my notebook because I have Lukaku as well. This is a game where you want guys who have the possibility to score multiples. United may score, and it may be Lukaku, but they are not getting like six or four or even three. At most, United scores two, and there'll probably be some wonky goal where De Gea comes up in the last minute and heads it in. That's probably the worst guess ever, but I'm still saying it. So we'll go on to my starts. On the starts, Maya Yoshida for Southampton. Third most owned defender on Southampton behind Cedric and Bertrand, yet he's 5.1. the VVD love is starting to come back up with the transfers. He's not there yet. He's coming along slow because he hasn't scored a goal or assisted on anything. But relax, it's going to be there eventually. But Mai Yoshida is the sneaky guy. You know, look at his ownership. He's owned less than Bertrand, like I said, less than Cedric. Cedric Suarez. See, I know him for longer. I can use the Suarez. In midfield, this is a Watford week for me. I like Watford against Stoke at home. Listen, I dare you to find a more ownable option at 6.2 or 3 or whatever he is right now than Richarlison.
Yeah.
He's basically giving you – remember 2 years ago when Mahrez was a bargain at 5.5 to start the year?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is Richarlison right now. He's now 6.2. He's giving you ample returns. He came out of the hard stretch of their lineup, of their schedule, where he basically faced the two hardest teams they were going to face in like the next 3 months. And he had a goal against Chelsea. So things are only looking up. They have Stoke, and then they have...
Wait, I thought he missed against Chelsea.
No. No, he scored.
Wait, really?
You lie.
Am I Corey right now?
Or maybe I'm thinking, oh, you know, I'm mixing up people with him with the Corey.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So he...
He did look very good and should have scored twice.
He had the assist against Chelsea. But he has a goal or an assist in four straight games, two goals and three assists during that same time. Upcoming schedule, Stoke, Everton, West Ham, Newcastle. Next four, then he plays United and Spurs. But that's not till almost you're done digesting your turkey. Basically,
quick question for you. A little mid-segment either or. Gross or Richarlison?
Listen, when this is the easiest determination I could possibly make. Look at the table right now. Who's playing better football?
Yeah, Watford.
Yeah.
But Gross is a bigger part of his team. I mean, that's like last year being like, who's better, Sigurdsson or Eriksson? And they ended up being pretty similar.
But the only reason that Gross is a bigger part of his team is because Brighton scores less than Watford does. So
true.
By happenstance, Brighton and Gross, he's more involved because they score less. So if he gets a goal or an assist every, you know, second week or third game when they play, It looks shinier because he's involved in 60% of their goals, whereas Richarlison's only involved in 40%. But you know, when Watford's outscoring them by what, 6 goals this year, 7 goals in 9 games, that's a pretty telling stat. And the way Watford is going, you know, their schedule, I like their schedule a little bit better than Brighton's. But
Watford 6th in goals right now. Brighton, I think, are 10th if memory serves. Yeah.
But they're probably separated by, like, I didn't even look at the stat. It's probably it's 5 15 or
15 to 9.
Yeah, so six goals. So, I mean, that's 3/4 of a goal every game.
Yep.
Imagine scoring 3/4 of a goal every game. The ball would be flat.
I would be very impressed.
Yeah.
If you managed to score 3/4 of a goal.
Yeah. So, on to my forward. I'm going to say this, and I'm completely speculating because I don't have tomorrow's roster in front of me. And it's funny because I get made fun of. Kevin's making fun of me this whole podcast for bringing in Sergio Aguero. But I've made two transfers this week, and my second transfer is Alvaro Morata. So how do you spell Alvaro Morata? REBOUND. He's going to rebound. Yes, siree. So I know we haven't seen the roster for tomorrow, but I don't think he's going to play coming off the injury.
Yeah, Batshuayi probably deserves a start as well after that.
Especially when Batshuayi came in late in the game last week. And yeah, I think Morata is prime for a breakout weekend here. Especially with the City things, he's probably one of the top two or three options from the striker standpoint this weekend if he plays.
Yeah.
So those are my starts reluctantly.
my starts are equally reluctant because one of them, and I'm just going to be honest, I just need him to do well. And maybe by placing him in this list, he will. Jamie Vardy.
Oh.
Yeah, this is probably his last week in my team, but
it's his last week in everybody's team.
That's very real because everybody has bigger issues again. Watch him be on everyone's team like the end of the season just because everybody had a bigger issue every week. But Vardy has the best shot accuracy percentage in the league right now. He's going to have the new manager bounce in theory, and he's going up against an Everton team whose biggest issue is facing pace. And Mahrez is finally turning it on, scored again today in the Royal Caribbean Cup. And you got to imagine that things are going to start turning around. I mean, I understand The Shakespeare sacking. He wasn't the profile they wanted to keep. As soon as they hit a patch of ice, they were just going to eject from it. But that was a really elongated, not very sensical analogy there. But I think they're going to kind of turn it around a little bit here. And as I said, Everton also dealing with a new manager situation. Unsworth promoted today to interim manager there. I just think there's nobody in that Everton defense that can keep pace with Vardy and Mahrez. I mean, Leighton Baines is a decent defender still, but he doesn't have the legs. I don't really trust. I almost said Maguire, the other one from Burnley. Keane?
Michael Keane.
Yeah, Michael Keane. Thanks. Ashley Williams looks garbage as he has for the better part of 2 years now. I just think if there's a match where Vardy can do it, it's this one. And if it doesn't happen in this one, I'm probably getting rid of him. But again, there could be bigger issues, and who knows. In midfield, I just want to retip Pascal Gross. Mentioned him last week. Showed up pretty large in that West Ham match. Just think he's one of the best bargains as well. I think Gross is the provider, whereas Richarlison is more of the scorer come the end of the season. But I think both of them are excellent values. If you're one of those people that's stepping down from a high-priced forward, feel free to make those your 4 and 5 and then just play matchups. Because both of them will be valuable all season, and both of them pretty cheap for now. And likely won't be going forward. The other midfielder I'm going to mention here is Mohamed Salah. I saw that his price went down, and I could fit him into my team, and I brought him in. Now, I tend to be more on the statistical side, and Rob tends to be more on the gut side. But seeing Salah against Tottenham last week just kind of reaffirmed how good he is. The fact that Liverpool are not in the Elk Cup makes me more confident in him starting
swamp,
this weekend.
Swamp cow.
Swamp Elks. makes me confident that he'll be able to start at the weekend. And so that's why I'm planning on bringing him in anyway. He's top 5 in both goals and shots on target. And the short-term matchup isn't too bad this week. Huddersfield's defense has been improving. But on the wings is really where people are able to get at them. And I think he may be able to undo them. And he, you know, we saw last week, even against one of the best defenses in the league, all he needs is one run to come off and he scores. Kind of Vardy-esque in that sense. But also you look forward, for Salah, kind of like City. It looks pretty nice basically through, just around Christmas. Mm-hmm. Huddersfield, West Ham, Southampton, Chelsea's obviously a toughie. Stoke, Brighton, Everton, West Brom, Bournemouth. All of those clubs have an issue. Like, Huddersfield struggle in attack, but they can defend pretty well. West Ham can attack, but can't defend. Southampton can defend, but can't attack. Chelsea are fine, whatever. Stoke can't really do either. Brighton can defend, sometimes attack. Everton can't do either. West Brom can only defend. Bournemouth can only attack. Like, there's issues here, and bringing in a midfielder benefits that because obviously you're kind of going both ways. And all those 1 points could add up. If Liverpool can get this defense right, which could be as simple as just getting rid of Lovren forever.
Didn't he just remove himself?
he kind of did, yeah. Also, speaking of him and removing things, apparently he removed Liverpool FC from his Instagram page after the Tottenham match. I have not checked that. I don't even have Instagram, but that would be amazing.
Nor would you follow Dejan Lovren.
Of course I would not. That is correct. But anyway, I'm aboard the Salah train, and him dropping in price just kind of made it more alluring rather than detracting. For defenses I like, I mentioned City. You just kind of have to own a City defender now. Sorry about it. You really need to own a City and a United defender, but because of the Tottenham matchup this week, I'll give you a week-long reprieve on that. But I love City. I think Chelsea versus Bournemouth could be an opportunity for them to get better. Bournemouth have failed to score in 2 of their last 3 matches. So if Chelsea could keep things tight, as I mentioned, Azpilicueta could be a really tempting option. And, you know, there have been some weeks where you've been on this West Ham defense, and I've just had no idea what the hell you were talking about.
Not anymore. I'm done now. You're dead to me.
This is the week you're done against the team that's literally scored twice.
I'm kidding. No, I love them.
Yeah.
They can babysit my twin daughters, Mame and Biram.
yeah, if Creswell gets the start, which he did not last week. He got replaced by Masuaku to poor effect. Okay. I think he could be a fantastic option. I don't really trust the rest of them, to be honest. But that could be such a sneaky option this week. If you're playing week to week or if you're playing other formats, they'd be really good for start and sits or for DFS.
Don't worry. Crystal Palace is going to rebound from losing 4-1 today.
Oh, no, they won't. There is almost nothing in this team. Like, genuinely. I don't know how this team got this bad. But seriously, Townsend has regressed. Punchin has been bad for about 18 months now. Kabai is just a lunatic now. I don't know if you saw his challenge last week.
I could see Andres Townsend being sold in January to like a top flight championship team coming up.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Also, Rafa still thinks he can make a player out of him, so wouldn't be surprised if he got shipped back up to Newcastle. But yeah, there is not much in this Crystal Palace team to like, unfortunately. And right now, I cannot think of a way that they stay up. I mean, they've already switched managers, and as you said, lost 4-1 today in the cup. It's not a good time to be a Crystal Palace fan or a fantasy owner that has any Palace players, which is why I also shift what my assumption is. I'm going to shift off Loftus-Cheek and upgrade him while downgrading Lukaku. But
yeah, here's a funny thing. The most ownable Crystal Palace player right now is probably Julian Speroni because he's 4.0.
Yep. Oh, yeah, he started last week over Hennessy.
Yep. And Speroni sat today, so... 4.0 goalies don't grow on trees.
Yep. And Speroni, still a really good shot stopper. The rest of it, it was either neither there or has regressed with age.
But the actual name shot stopping. Like and his name sounds like Italian ice cream.
Or an Italian beer, Peroni.
Yeah, but it's Spumoni. Spumoni!
Good.
That's my secret password when I go into like a Dutch brothel. Spumoni!
Word? How does that work?
That's my give-up word. They don't speak English, so they don't know what Spumoni is.
Huh. Great. on to our teams. I kind of just alluded to it. My plan is to go Lukaku to your boy, Mama Biram Diouf, and rotate my third forward instead of my fifth midfielder, then upgrade Ruben Loftus-Cheek to Mohamed Salah. It looks like I can do it right now. Price changes have already taken effect by the time we're recording this. They may have changed again by the time you're listening. But yeah, that's what I'm planning on doing is bringing in Diouf and Salah for Lukaku and Ruben Loftus-Cheek. I want zero part of any Crystal Palace player ever again. Zaha could sneak his way back in there. Maybe Benteke when he comes back, but not for now.
There's just no reason. They have two goals. No.
It's real bad. Who are you targeting this week? Oh, you already did it. You already
brought in. Thanks, jerk. Thanks for reminding me. I went ahead and jumped on the early because I wouldn't have been able to do it with the moves that I had, so I had to take advantage of the money. I went from Lukaku and Jesus to Morata and Aguero. Boys, my face red. No.
Who was the other player you got rid of to bring in Morata?
Lukaku and Jesus.
Mm, gotcha.
So I basically just did a like for like. Big money, big swaps for Smokey. And I paired them up with this is the last week for Jamie Vardy for me. I will
unless
be punting.
He scores.
Then yeah, like, unless he scores. You know he's going. You know what's going to happen? He's going to score.
Oh, yeah.
Because this messes up my whole bringing in Diouf and then upgrading to the midfield or adding another defender.
Oh, my gosh. Am I going to have Diouf in my team before you?
Yeah, but
how does that make you feel emotionally?
I never said that I am a good doer. I'm a good sayer.
Yeah. Do you have the best words?
No, I don't know. I don't know. No idea. I don't know. But that's my moves I made. I went Morata and Aguero, and I did it early because I wanted to reap the benefits of my bounty. And it's going to blow up in my face, but I don't care. It's just a week. It's week 10. There's 27 weeks to go after the, or 29 weeks to go, or whatever it is. I'm bad at math.
Should be 29, right? Because it's match week
10. And you count. Whatever.
We're gonna move on to captains.
Infantile.
I'm just gonna do the move I've already been talking about throughout the show, and I think I said that I've already done it because I was filling it in on my app. and then got distracted by the stupid extra time in the City match. But assuming I bring in Salah, going to captain him against Huddersfield, if I for some reason don't, if he gets hurt tomorrow in the match they're not playing, then I have a toughie. Because Silva is definitely going to play, so that makes him interesting. You don't want to bet against Kane in this form, but you don't want to bet against the United defense. So I'd probably go Silva, but that's one of the reasons I want to bring in Salah, is it gives me a good captain option this week. Cheeky, if you wanted to go Vardy versus Everton, I listed out why that should be a good matchup, but it'd be hard to trust him. But last week, I said it'd be hard to trust Kane with the captain. He got 2 goals and an assist. So if your gut's pulling you that way, maybe just do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Captain for me is, you know, I'm just going to put a captain on Aguero and a V on Morata and see what happens. But I could be cheeky and just go with David Silva because I know he's going to definitely play.
Yeah, do you not want to put your V on somebody else, like in Cruz?
No.
That sounds terrifying.
I'm going to stick my P on the V of Morata.
I did see somebody last week that had Aguero as their captain and Jesus as their... Wait, no, yeah. It was Lukaku. Wait.
It was Kane. No, it was Jesus and Raheem Sterling. Raheem Sterling, yeah. Sterling and, yeah.
Yeah, and that's real sad. All right, that should do it for us today. To everybody in the States, enjoy watching the dang World Series. It's about to come on just as we're about to click off. People in the UK, you know, watch something else like darts. I don't really get it, but you know what? Do you.
180!
Is a thing that could be shouted. All right, Rob, why don't you tell the folks so they can get at you?
You can find me on Twitter at FPL_MNOP, or you can find my writings, stylings, and musings on Razzball.com.
Yeah, and I'm your other host, Kevin DeVries. You can find me on Twitter at Kevroff. I also write for Goal.com. You can also find both of us on, this is the FPL Roundtable, but also on DFS shows for both Fantrax and for VIPBet.com. So be sure to check them out as well. Oh, also on the full EPL Roundtable, EPL Index family, the Championship Roundtable is now on Twitter at Championship Pod. Be sure to give them a little bit of love as well. They had some great stats going on today about the championship clubs against the Premier League clubs in I ran out of things to call the Caribou Cup. So anyway, best of luck to your teams this week, and we will catch you next time.
Peace.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.